think they get a face full of Rojo. I might go with the brisket and the ribs Thursday night. There's no stopping me. How do you like that, Leftwich? Stop with the sideline passes.
The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford. Unreal 2020 Ford F-150s deals right now at BillCurryFord.com. I'm taking a look at them right here with Ira. Up to $14,000 off MSRP. Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. We talk about them so much. You need to experience it at BillCurryFord.com. General Manager Sean Sullivan is ready to help you in person, online, however he can. BillCurryFord.com.
I think the Buck defense is pissed off.
Before you panic and call your insurance company, call Florida's Elite Restoration. As soon as you see any mold or any water that doesn't belong where it is in your home, Florida's Elite Restoration.com is the website. Their company, a great local company, is available for you 24/7, and they will come out and give you a free estimate as to what's going on before you go down the road of insurance companies and plumbers and all sorts of issues that can arise from that. They truly care. They completely understand the devastating losses that can come from mold, water, but also fire, wind, other disasters. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Buccaneers fans, it is that time for the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the king of Pasco County, and just our good friend and the sage-like wisdom he delivers, Ira Kaufman. Ira, you know, we're presented by Bill Curry Ford. We're happy to be here, but it's Thursday night football. The Bucks are 3-1. I don't know what to do with myself. How are you?
I'm excited, Stevie. I'm excited. I'm excited to see my buddies at Big Storm, Clearwater location, for the game Thursday night. I'm very excited to hit the brisket very, very hard off that menu. Very hard. And I'm excited for the chance to go 4-1 for this football team. Lee, it's been 15 years. 15 freaking years since they started 4-1. The Cadillac Williams year, 2005. They won the division. They lost the playoff game. And Lee, they're starting a span, and I can't believe this, 4 primetime games in the next 5 weeks, Lee. That's going to let this whole nation know a lot about the Bucks, and I don't just mean Tom Brady. We all know about Brady. But I think it's going to help guys like Levante David, Vita Vea, Carlton Davis, Lee, Tristan Wirfs, Ronald Jones. Lee, these are not household names around the NFL, and they're all playing well right now. So, you know, I'm looking ahead to the Pro Bowl. I'm not saying Tristan Wirfs is going to be a Pro Bowler. But if the Bucs win 11 games, they're going to have 5 guys in the Pro Bowl, Lee. That's just the way it is. And let the national audience check in on this football team, Mr. DeKemper.
Is Tristan Wirfs the best offensive lineman the Bucs have? I'm not trying to be a troll here. I'm not setting you up with anything here. Look at the guys he's gone up against, and they really have done little. I mean, I'm not saying they were invisible, but they've done little. I know he's going up against a good one Thursday night, Khalil Mack. I know Ali Marpet's having a good year. Jensen, I think, is having a good year. But, my gosh, worse, forget the fact that he's a rookie.
Lee, yeah, all things considered, you could make that case. And, Steve, here's the irony of the whole thing, Stephen. Andrew Thomas, now, I'm not saying he's been a disaster. He's the fourth pick in the draft, the first of the tackles to get off the board. He's really struggling. Now, it's a bad Giants team, and Saquon Barkley's not around, and I understand that. But the reports out of New York, Steve, say he's basically overmatched right now. Everybody's down on this kid, and meanwhile, the Bucks get Wirfs as the fourth guy out of the four.
Well, they also asked Thomas to play left tackle when the guy opted out of the season for COVID. I forget the guy from New England. I forgot his name right now.
Solder?
Nate Solder. Exactly, Nate Solder. So, yeah. You know, whatever. But what I do know, Ira, is that Tristan Wirfs is playing well, but it's only 4 games. I mean, we got to calm down here a little bit. And Joey Bosa was injured going into last week's game. You know, so I can't go too crazy, but the run blocking is so good. And Tom Brady has only been sacked 5 times, Ira.
That's right.
Now, I did the research. Now, he's dropped back over 160 times, and he's only been dropped 5 times. Wow. If he's on pace for 20 sacks, Ira. Over the last 10 years in New England, he averaged like 28 sacks a year. So he's living the easy life, which is just hard to believe. And throw in the fact that it's hard to believe on the surface. You look at who's pass blocking for the Bucks. Shady McCoy hasn't been good, and the other guys aren't really pass blockers. So kudos to everything they're doing there. I thought it was very noteworthy, Ira, that Tom Brady, without being asked, went out of his way to praise Harold Goodwin at his last news conference.
That's the run game coordinator, right, Steven? Run game coordinator?
Yeah, he also coaches, co-coaches the O-line.
Co-coaches the O-line. They're doing a heck of a job, Lee. And Lee, I've been their biggest critic. I mean, I have been. How many times have I harangued you about, a highly paid offensive line and the Bucks aren't getting enough production and it's an underachieving unit? Well, I think I just gave them did I give them an A or a B, Steve? I might have given him an A. I can't remember.
I don't read your grades, Ira. Come on. What are you,
come on.
Football Kaufman focus or something?
Lee, I thought they were going to be the weak link. I really did. And so far, absolutely not. And Brady appreciates it. And like Steve said, he's on pace for getting sacked 20 times this season. I believe Buck quarterbacks might have been sacked 45 or 47 times last season. You know, and the difference, four out of the five guys are still there. Wirfs is the only difference. And Dotson wasn't that bad in pass protection. Joe Gilbert's doing a good job. I mean, him and Godwin are getting the job done. Maybe they're leaning on these guys. Now, they didn't play particularly well, Lee, in New Orleans. They did not. And I remember Arians saying something about they were out-physicaled by the defensive line of the Saints. And I think that got their attention. And I like the fact that Arians is calling people out when need be. I like it. He's demanding a little more accountability. That's what happens, Lee, when you're all in and you got a 43-year-old quarterback. So be it. If they can't handle it, they'll get replaced. Right now, I think the offensive line is an asset, Lee, and I did not think I would be saying that in October of 2020.
That's a major 180 for you, Ira.
It is.
Yeah, Ira, next thing I know, you're going to be going to Big Storm and ordering a side of coleslaw, and that's it.
Well, don't hold your breath for that to happen, Isvitz, because we're a long way from that. I might go with the brisket and the ribs Thursday night. There's no stopping me once I sit down at a table at Big Storm, my friends.
All right, I've got two announcements, Ira, two announcements that you are not aware of, because I like to save these things if I can to get your spur-of-the-moment reaction. But when you will be bonding with fired-up Bucks fans at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton Road, to watch the Bucks-Bears game, you'll be out there early, feasting and belching and drinking Bramosa and having a good time. And Thursday night is always a great night at Big Storm, where you've got tremendous covered outdoor seating and their fabulous tap room indoors. But you will be joined by Todd Wright, who a lot of our listeners know, Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. He will be your muscle for the evening, making sure that everything is just right, if you will. And so you'll be out there.
That is excellent news, Steve. Maybe Wright can calm me down. I'm off to a 1-3 start in this darn fantasy league. I believe you are also, Steve, and I take it seriously. You know, if you're gonna compete, you might as well compete to win. And right. You know, I got Dak Prescott going crazy, breaking records, and I'm 1-3. So I got Leonard Fournette. Come on, Fournette, what are you doing over here? Get into the mix a little bit so I can use you.
But let me give you the other announcement, Ira. We're going to have a special guest on the podcast next week, all set up by General Manager Sean Sullivan of Bill Curry Ford, who not only gives phenomenal service to all Bucks fans and everyone in the community at Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, just north of the stadium on Dale Mabry, but he also looks out for our podcast, Ira. So he's got a special guest, a great guest, lined up for us, and it's not Mike Allstott, who we'll have on again. So there you go.
And you are not at the liberty to reveal that guest, correct, Mr. Isbitz?
I'm at complete liberty. I'm at complete liberty, but I just, being a cynical old dude, I don't want, until I have that interview in the bank, I don't want to put it out there. But it is a member of the Buccaneers, and we're very excited about it.
I love it. You got me stoked. I'm geeked even more, Lee. This Thursday night, Lee, this game, it's an interesting game, Lee. I wouldn't call it a trap game, but it's a dangerous game, Lee. On a short week, you're on the road. It always seems to favor the home team. not a guarantee. But the Bucks are favored, Lee, and I think the Bucks deserve to be favored. You know why, Lee? They're a better football team. With or without Chris Godwin, they're a better football team than the Bears. I'm not worried about Justin Watson. I'm not worried about LeSean McCoy. Those will be excuses if they lose this game.
And I'm worried about Mike Evans.
Mike Evans is going to play. If he doesn't play, that's a whole new ballgame. And I think he's going to play well. It's a tricky game, Lee. It's not going to be an easy game. But I'm very anxious to see how the Bucks perform in prime time. It's not a spot that they're used to. But certainly, Brady is not going to be fazed by it one bit. You know, I was talking with the Mad Dog today on a serious show, Wednesdays at 5. And he was talking about the Buck Chargers game. And he laid it all at the feet of Tom Brady. And you know what? When I thought about it, I couldn't really disagree with Russo.
No.
The defense stunk in the first half, and Brady wasn't very good in the first half, and then Brady took over the game. So he said he agreed 100% with Arian's comment that they get their butts kicked by 20 points last year. And I don't think it's as much about Jameis Winston as it is about Tom Brady. That's the way I'm looking at it.
Yeah, Steve did the research. And I love Bruce Arians. So what I'm about to say is not a shot at Bruce Arians. That's just being a blowhard. Jameis brought the Bucks back from two touchdowns a couple times last year, and they were down by 17. So Steve and I are trying to figure out what Arians is talking about there. But you know what? Arians seems to be in the psychological warfare kind of a coach. So he might have been saying that to boost up the excitement, if not the confidence of his teams. Like, you know, this is what you guys can do. This is what you guys can do. And he knows his players hear with his words at a podium or, in this case, a Zoom conference call. So I wouldn't be surprised if he was just saying that to – he doesn't care about the media, but what he does care about is team. So it very well could be he was saying that for his team. Because like Steve wrote and Steve did research, that's just unadulterated cock out what he was saying.
And Steve, I don't think Arians has any interest or leaning toward taking any kind of a pot shot at Jameis Winston.
Look, I think you're talking a little bit out of both sides there, Sage. Now, we debated this last podcast, and the reason I say that is because if Arians is a 68-year-old, polished, smart guy who likes to play the psychological games and knows what he's talking about, then he absolutely is throwing a pot shot at Jameis Winston by saying that, because fundamentally, it's not true, Ira. That's the thing. This is not about backing Jameis. It's fundamentally not true. They came back and won a game down 14 at home in the third quarter to Indianapolis last year. And Indianapolis
was... What if he said last year we would have lost that game instead of saying we would have lost it by 20 points? Would you argue against that?
No, not at all.
Well, I got to be honest. The sports writer in me, I love the blowhard. I love that. You know, was it accurate? Hell no, it wasn't accurate. Did I love him saying that? Hell yeah, I loved him saying that. It made for good copy. So I hope he continues to shoot his mouth off like that every week. I'll love it. I'll eat it. But it's not accurate. That doesn't mean I didn't like it.
Well, you got to remember, guys. You got to remember that Brady is in the top five. I don't know where he ranks in the top five.
He's in the top five of everything because he's played 20 years.
Well, I mean, but of all-time fourth-quarter comeback.
46 comebacks, right?
Whatever the number is. And, you know, Jameis Winston might have four. So, again, this is Brady's team right now, and he's playing well, and he's healthy, and the offensive line gets some credit for that.
Well, here's the thing, Ira. I'm with you. I'm with you. It's Brady's team, and, you know, thank goodness. But it's just an interesting psychological game. Now, here you are the sage of Tampa Bay sports. The Bucks let up 7 points in the second half last week. 7 points. The defense clamped down. And we're laying it all at the feet of Tom Brady. And so how does that add up, Ira? When everybody's saying that, oh, well, you know, this guy, Herbert, is the second coming. But it's all at the feet of Tom Brady. It's a lot of spin flying around there. And I'll tell you this, Ira, I tuned into Tiki Barber to hear what he had to say about the Bucks game.
That's your first mistake, Gisbert. That's your first mistake.
It took him about 2 minutes. Took them about 2 minutes to play the audio of Arians saying we would have gotten our ass beat by 20 points. And it took about 2 minutes for Tiki Barber to hear that and say that's Bruce Arians blaming everything on Jameis to fire up his team for what they have now.
Well, you got to remember, guys, that he said that in the post game rush. He didn't say it on Monday. He said it on Sunday night. I think that's a factor. You know, he didn't have time to parse his words. But again, I think he was just flush with the thrill of coming back from 24-7 and seeing Brady throw five touchdowns. I mean, it is what it is. Brady's his guy. He's his hand-picked guy. The fans are in love with Brady. The same ones that were ready to bury him, Lee. The same ones that were ready to throw dirt on him after week one, that he's a dinker and dunker. Now, I will say this, Lee, and I hope Byron Leftwich in his Chicago hotel listens to this podcast before the Bucks play the Bears on Thursday. This is for you, Mr. Leftwich. No more long sideline passes. It's out. It's out of the playbook. Dump it and replace it with a nice little 9-yard over the middle to Cameron Brate. How do you like that, Leftwich? Stop with the sideline passes.
Well, I don't know. I'll tell you what. You're a good friend. He covered him, and he's a good guy. He's a friend of our Joe Bucks fan. He's mentioned us on Florio's show before, as has Florio, of course. We appreciate that. Chris Sims. Chris Sims said that play you're speaking of, he took Justin Watson apart. He said, and I hope I could say this, if not, Steve, bleep it out, quote unquote, that was a shitty route. And he went into detail. He went into detail why that was such a crappy route. He said, unless you actually run at the cornerback and not try to run by him, you're begging for the ball to get picked. So he laid all that on Watts. Now, you might argue quarterbacks always blame receivers. Okay, I'll give you that. But I thought that was very interesting how he said that. And Chris Sims also mentioned when Brady throws that pass to Godwin, that's a catch.
I don't like that play. I don't like that play. I think it's a dangerous play.
I started thinking about this. We all know that Chris Godwin's a very physical receiver. And when Chris Sims said you're supposed to run on that very specific route, you're supposed to run at the cornerback, not run by him. And we all know Godwin, very physical, he doesn't think twice about running at a receiver or a cornerback. He doesn't think twice about running over a corner. So it's adding up. It makes sense.
I understand. Steve, I don't like the risk-reward percentages on that play. I don't like it. Maybe Aaron Rodgers can run that play all the time. Mahomes can run that play all the time. I'm not sure Brady's got the arm to pull that off most of the time. And if it's a poor pass, it's going the other way for six, Steve. It's going the other way.
All right, Ira. I am going to text Byron Leftwich when we get off the podcast, let him know what the sage is doing. And the dink and dunk, though. Ira, you brought up the dink and dunk, and I don't have a problem with the dink and dunk. Move the chains. Do what you got to do.
I don't think it's accurate. Well, I don't think it's accurate.
I bring it up because, of course, he wasn't going to dink and dunk last week. You're down 24-7. And clearly there were a lot of holes in the Chargers secondary. But this game, tomorrow night, you got Akeem Hicks, who's rechanneled his Pro Bowl self. You've got Khalil Mack. You've got Robert Quinn. They all rush the passer well. Roquan Smith is a guy who, you know, could be potentially the best linebacker on the field tomorrow night.
He's very good. Very good.
They've got a great defense. And, you know, Brady's going to not want to get hit. I mean, that's the goal of this season. I wrote today, you know, yeah, win the game, go to 4-1, but you've got to get out of this game with Brady not being hurt, and he knows that. You know, I think that some of this dink and dunk we talk about is going to come back, and I'm all in favor of it.
You know, guys, I've been thinking I might have spoke too soon last week when I said that my prediction, my preseason prediction, and I think we each offered one of them.
Here we go.
And mine was about Cameron Brayton. I called it the worst prediction mankind has ever come up with. And O.J. Howard goes down, and Brate catches a touchdown. That was a nice little diving catch. Not fantastic, but it was a nice catch. And I'm not sure Brate's not going to step it up, gentlemen. So in your dink-and-dunk world, and I agree, the Bears have a nice pass rush, I think Brate could be a factor tomorrow night, especially in the red zone. They don't want to overuse Gronkowski. You know, he caught all one ball last week, guys, Gronkowski. One ball. And I'm looking for Brate to do some damage. He's certainly not all beat up this season. He barely got on the field for 2 weeks. So we shall see. But, Steve, my point about the dink and dunker, which is not, I didn't think it was accurate. Two things. One, before they fell behind by 17 points, he kept going to Scotty Miller long, and it wasn't working in the first half, but he stuck with it. He doesn't mind throwing that long ball. Now, he's got to have the protection. You're right. And two, when it comes to completions 40 yards or more, he's among the league leaders. And Godwin, you know, has missed considerable time, and Evans isn't 100%. So he's developing a nice rapport with Scotty Miller. God bless him. Would you have ever thought, Lee, that Miller would be on track? Now, it's only 4 weeks. I understand that. On track for a 1,000-yard season. Scotty Miller?
Oh, no.
It sounds unbelievable, Lee.
I knew he was going to have a better season only because you could see it in training camp. There was a bond there. I sarcastically refer to Scotty Miller as Brady's new BFF. But you could tell he liked throwing to Scotty Miller. You could see that in practice.
Carefully, if you say BFF around Ira, he thinks it's a big Frankfurter.
Hey, hey, Steve, here's another important facet of Brady over the years, and I've said this for a long time. He's had guys in New England, of course, I'm not talking about the Randy Mosses of the world or Julian Edelman, who's a fine player, but he's had guys, I'm thinking about Chris Hogan, Amendola, yeah, guys like that, and Breeze, I think, is in the same category, where, Steve, if these guys were on another team and when they go to another team, you never hear of them again. You don't hear them again. They're done.
Like Rob Gronkowski?
No, not Rob Gronkowski. Come on. You know what I'm saying. So I'm not saying Scotty Miller falls in that class, but Brady has a knack for all of a sudden you're talking about these receivers. Look what Brady's got. It's because of Tom Brady. So we got to remember that.
The history is there, and I'm having a little fun there with Gronk. Hopefully he shows up in a big way in this game because, you know, he might be the number two weapon here in this game if Mike Evans is covered out of the game like he's been twice this season. I don't think that'll happen, but it has happened a couple of times. Ira, I'm going to go around the horn here. We're going to fire it up early, and I'm going to go to Lee first. Lee, we're going to take on the predictions. Give me a score. What do you think is going to happen in this game? Give me a key that you're looking for. Fire away.
21-17 Bucks. Foles stinks. He won't get off the field. They won't bring in MVP Mitch. I remember what the Bucks did to Foles last year in Jacksonville. They chased him. 21-17 Bucks. Going to be close. The difference, a Sean Murphy bunting pick six.
Nice. All right. Who's next, Stevie?
Who's next?
Only one other person.
You want to go next or you want me to go?
I'll go next. This game scares me. Allen Robinson, that receiver, he's good. Now, he's all they got, and I would think that Bowles could devise a game plan to stop one receiver, unless the guy's Paul Warfield or something, and he's not. But I'm tempted to pick the Bears, but I'm not going to do it. I think the Buck defense is pissed off. I think they're angry. I think they got their butts chewed out for 3 days about their performance on Sunday, which was lousy against the rookie quarterback. Now, Foles is a Buck killer, Lee. That bothers me. He has been in an Eagle uniform. He hurt them.
The last two times they played him, they beat him up pretty good.
Well, I remember him having some big days against the Bucks.
With the Rams.
Steve, I'm going to say 2016 Bucks. I'm right there with the Kemper, and I think they get a face full of Rojo, and I think Rojo gets another 100 yards, Mr.
Bold, Ira.
Giving Fournette one step closer to getting bounced off my team. I might put him on waivers next week. Go Rojo.
I had a bit of a sad face here when Lee stole my thunder because I was going to say Nick Foles against this exact defense last year, he got chased with Jacksonville. He seemed like a deer in the headlights, and maybe that gives him a little experience, but I still think this anemic, Viagra-needing Bears offense is a very bad matchup for the Bucs as far as their success for Chicago. So I got to lean it, you know, toward the Bucks here. I don't think Brady's going to make the mistakes, so I'm just going to make it very simple. 16-10 Bucks. Thursday night, road team, it's difficult, but Brady's got a near-perfect record on Thursday nights. I think they're going to go 4-1, Ira. I really do. And as far as one thing I'm looking for, though, Carlton Davis. It's for me, this is worth mentioning because Davis, the hype train's going for Davis. He's building a reputation, Ira, for those flags. and he's got five penalties now. And it's not necessarily about, oh, was it a good call or a bad call? When you're a cornerback and you're handsy and you get flags, you build a reputation with the officials. They all know who you are, and those flags can start to steamroll, and a big penalty can, you know, make a big difference. So I'm going to look for that matchup and to see if Davis can play a cleaner game.
That's a good point, Steve. You know, one thing about Foles, Lee, he's pretty mobile. He's pretty mobile. And I'm a little worried that some of those third and sevens, he might be able to run for 10 yards and keep the chains moving. So we shall see. But I think the Bucs have a better team, guys. I've been saying it every week. I said it about Carolina. I said it about Denver. I said it about the Chargers. The Bucs have a better roster. I know some injuries are mounting. But, they're, you know, again, they're not killer injuries that the guy's going to miss six or eight games. It's just not. Godwin's going to be back, and maybe as soon as the Packers game. And it'll be an exciting prospect if the Bucs are 4-1 with Aaron Rodgers coming to town. Guys, you watched the Packers the other day. Rodgers is having a ball. He's having a ball. I was worried about him. You know, they drafted a quarterback. People thought that Rodgers bent out of shape. But, you know, Davante Adams didn't play. And, you know, Rodgers having the time of his life, guys. So we'll have a lot of fun dissecting that matchup next week. But I'm 4-0 picking Buck games. I got to stick with the Bucks, gentlemen.
I'll throw some stats at here, Ira. First one, Shaq Barrett. You know, he's not getting a whole lot of sacks so far this year. We've talked about that before. He's fifth in the NFL in quarterback pressures.
Nice. Nice.
Tom Brady has never lost to the Bears. You know, that scares people because, oh, always do. And on short week Thursday night games. Now, of course, people are going to say, what do you mean short week? They're all short week. No, no, they're not. On short week Thursday night games, Brady is undefeated.
Outstanding research, DeKemper. Outstanding.
The only time he ever lost a Thursday night game was a season opener. You know, they have the special, you know, to start the season, they have that special game. One game
that wasn't a short week.
That was not a short week. Yep, that was not a short week. So when he's had a short week Thursday night game, he's undefeated.
Ira, I'm glad you brought up Aaron Rodgers because we don't want to talk about the unthinkable, which would be the Bucs losing this game, going 3-2, losing the tiebreaker edge to the Bears, which probably will be the potential wild card team behind the Packers. And then the Bucs come home for those Packers, and the Packers have a bye week this week to have Aaron Rodgers drool all week watching film of the Bucs blitzing left and right. So they got to win this game.
Yeah, and Davante Adams, who happens to be on my fantasy team, he was my first pick. He's missed two games with a little hamstring soft tissue thing. He will be back for the Bucs game. I guarantee it, coming off a bye week. So, you know, Steve, I think they're going to be 4-1, and I think we're going to be pretty jubilant next week.
I hope so, Ira. I'm always up for jubilant. Now, one thing, as we heard in the beginning of the podcast, one thing that'll make you jubilant is all the incredible October deals at Bill Curry Ford. Trucks, pre-owned vehicles. I mean, you got to go shopping at BillCurryFord.com. That's where you start. If you're thinking about a vehicle, go there. Start shopping. Sean Sullivan, general manager, will help you personally. You can email him any questions. You can say, hey, Sean, get me a deal. I know Ira. Even if you don't know Ira, you can do that. So that's how you have to do it. Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford. And we heard about Florida's Elite Restoration earlier, Ira, but I want to remind everybody that the next road game after tomorrow at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater is going to be Florida's Elite Restoration Night. They're buying a beer for everybody, a core beer. Already worked this out with Big Storm. They're going to buy everybody a beer who comes out to hang out with the Sage. I'll be out there. It's going to be a lot of fun. So kudos to them. FloridasEliteRestoration.com. You got to go there right now and learn about them. So when you do have an emergency, you know who to call.
Is that the Vegas game, Steve, against the Raiders?
It is, Ira. It is.
Outstanding. Raiders might be in a little free fall. They're playing the Chiefs this week. They're not looking that good. Things are falling into place, gentlemen, and I know Buck fans hate it when I talk about it, when I mention, you know, they're relatively injury-free, and they're killing me, Lee. They're killing me. You know, stop saying stuff like that. And you got to tell it like it is, Lee. That's what we do, and that's why, gentlemen, I continue to promote this podcast as the most popular in-demand Buck podcast in the land, gentlemen.
Well, Sage, nobody ever argues with you, so that sort of should answer your question, or anybody who thinks, nobody listens to these guys. So we appreciate all the many thousands of listeners, continues to grow, believe it or not. And I know we get new listeners in, Iris, so you know, they can Google these things that you talk about that they don't understand. I think you dropped a reference earlier. I don't even remember what it was. Maybe it was Hawaii 5-0 or something. I don't know what it was.
Well, you know, speaking of Hawaii, when are you guys going to smarten up and come up with some kind of plan to send me to the Hawaiian Islands, maybe for a week, maybe 10 days, and try to drum up some more listeners from the Pacific, gentlemen? I think you should, guys should be talking about that amongst yourselves.
When they move the Pro Bowl back there.
That may be a never, Lee. Might be a never.
Why don't you call Chucky, Ira? Call Chucky and see if he wants to come on your podcast. Tell him we're doing a tribute to 2007. See what he says.
Well, we were thinking about, you know, Lee and I were thinking about going out to Vegas in a couple of weeks. But I thought that, you know, this is before coronavirus, that I could get some time with Chucky, get out there early, you know, get a half an hour with the guy one-on-one, get him to do a little podcast. But you can't do that anymore, guys. You just can't do it in 2020. Everything's a Zoom call. You can't get anybody by yourself. And we've got to live with it till next year, Lee. Maybe we look at it again.
It's disrupted our lives and it's disrupted everybody's lives.
But it hasn't disrupted the podcast, Ira. So you know what? We are fired up for tomorrow night's game. Join Ira out at Big Storm Brewing Company in Clearwater. I'm not going to ask Ira for any parting sage words of wisdom, Lee, because I have a feeling he's going to start talking about you know, Gloria Estefan or something out there. And
Lee,
a little bit more relevant.
Lee, I would like you to take 45 seconds and do a little bit of a salute to Mr. Eddie Van Halen.
Oh man, 45 seconds doesn't do it justice. But
did it hit your heart, Lee? Did that one hit your heart?
Still is. I'll just three people. Angus Young said his guitar playing was, quote, pure wizardry. Billy Joel, an irreplaceable void has now been set. And Martha Quinn, Tuesday, fun died.
Wow. Steve, I never thought we'd be quoting Martha Quinn on this podcast. Never thought that. Lee, I knew you were a Van Halen guy. You've mentioned him many times on this podcast when we start talking about great musicians. It's right in your time warp, you know, growing up. I knew that one was going to hit you hard, Lee.
This is a connection for you, Ira. You know, I used to needle you about Messers?
Yeah, Messers, yeah.
I actually read in the obit. Now, this is how huge the guy is. I know, Ira, you kind of... This is an idea how huge he is. All the network news led with that. Trump and Eddie Van Halen dying. Every network news show did that. I'm not joking. Wall Street Journal had an obit for Eddie Van Halen. Wall Street Journal. You know, it's a business newspaper. And they referred to somebody, I can't remember what it was, I might have been the Van Halen brothers, as Messers. And right away I thought, Ira, like, it's someone in 2020 is still using that term.
You know, Steve, I know we're ending this podcast. I'll end it like this. I didn't realize, you know, I'll admit it. I didn't realize the impact that this guy had and that group had, but specifically him. I know he did the solo on Michael Jackson's Beat It on that Thriller album, but I didn't know the impact that he had on music as a whole. I'm, you know, more attuned to the great British guitarists, you know, from the Yardbirds and the Beck and the Page and Clapton. But this guy, I guess in his own way, Lee, was a giant.
Well,
his own way.
Ira, you know,
yeah, he was.
I'm pretty sure Lawrence Welk went off the air in 1977, and things happened after that. So it's just the way it is, Ira. All right, now look, get out of here. Go enjoy yourself. Messer's brisket and ribs are waiting for you at Big Storm, and we'll see you next time.